2 Timothy chapter 2. We continue tonight in our gleanings through this book, and it's very, very difficult to glean through this book, especially being a pastor myself, and this book is known as a pastoral epistle. It's kind of hard because you want to kind of look at every verse that's in there. Now, I know a lot of these truths concern directly those that are in the ministry, yet all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. So we can use all of them. And so therefore I want to encourage you on that, because Paul writes a very encouraging and yet a very exhorting epistle here. There's a difference between encouragement and exhorting. They're basically the same and have the same goal in mind, but exhorting is more like a warning with comfort. It's like an exhortation, they say. In other words, it's warning you mildly, lovingly about some truths or many truths. And so Paul writes this second epistle to Timothy, and it's full of exhortations, encouraging Timothy to not lose his faith, so to say, encouraging Timothy not to grow discouraged, but encouraging Timothy to be diligent and persevere. And I kind of like that, because we live in a day and age to where Christians don't like to be exhorted to persevere. I was accused this last week of being pushy as a pastor or as a preacher in one of the Bible studies. And I said, if you think I'm pushy, read God's Word. God doesn't expect us to be idle and passive in our Christianity. He doesn't. The Word of God is full of exhortations to perseverance. And so here's Paul writing Timothy, and he knows Timothy. He knows he's timid. But yet he still gives him some very strong words of exhortation. As we've already seen, God has not given us a spirit of fear, Timothy. It's almost like a fatherly exhortation, like to wake up, Timothy, be a man. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony. So they're very strong words of encouragement coming from Paul to Timothy. And this epistle is full of them. Here in chapter 2 and verse 1, we have one of those exhortations. Paul says here, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy was no stranger to the grace of God, but having himself received that grace of God which bringeth salvation, Titus chapter 2, verse 11, he was very familiar with the grace of God. Yet the Apostle Paul would now exhort Timothy here in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, be strong in that same grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I love this exhortation, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but it reminds us again of divine aid and assistance that's needed to live the Christian life, but also responsibility and accountability of the believer, because it is grace of which he speaks of. But he tells Timothy, but you be strong in it. You increase in that. You grow in that grace. Be diligent to know more of it. So we have, again, this divine balance which so many Christians don't see, or ignorant of, or abuse. And I think that's important for us to understand, because we do live in a generation today, and I find myself repeating this often, but we do live in a generation of very passive Christians. Sometimes I wonder if they really understand what eternal salvation is, and that the Word of God says if you have eternal salvation, you should live a life or strive as though you don't have it, but you're seeking to obtain it. I know that's contradictory to this day and age of Christians, but the Bible, as well as our forefathers, stressed perseverance if you're a Christian. Even Peter himself said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly appear? He uses that word very clearly, scarcely. Our Lord himself said, the way is straight and narrow. Many there be that look for it, but they can't enter into it. He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And so the Bible is constantly exhorting us that if we truly possess salvation, That salvation is going to be producing works in us that appear as though, and listen carefully when I say this, that appear as though we're working for salvation, but we're working from salvation, not to salvation. It's important to understand, especially in this indifferent, cold, passive generation in which we live in. Paul's encouraging Timothy here. This was not an exhortation to keep his salvation. I hope we understand that. For this was eternally secure in Christ's redemptive work. Paul and Timothy both realized that. But it's an exhortation to be ever drawing divine strength and comfort and hope from that grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying, if you don't be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, you won't have the comfort of that grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's math put together, 1 + 1. That's what the exhortation deals with. If you don't strive to be strong, to grow, to increase in this grace which is in Christ Jesus, then you won't receive of its comfort, of its strength, and of its hope. And again, I emphasize that. It is grace, but there is a responsibility here, an accountability here, if we're going to enjoy the pleasures of that grace, the comforts of that grace. And that's a divine balance that many Christians find themselves often not being able to see or exercise in their own life. You see, beloved, the true believer must not only know and be acquainted with such grace, but he must also learn how to draw strength and comfort and hope from the wells of such grace. I want to emphasize that. We must not only know and be acquainted with this grace, be able to talk about it, intellectually understand it, but, beloved, we have to know, we have to learn how to draw from its wells in order to receive strength and hope and comfort. If we don't learn how to draw from the wells of salvation or draw from the wells of the grace that is in Christ Jesus, we're going to lack on spiritual comfort and diligence and triumphs and joys and all the blessings that come with knowing more about the grace of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, and again in this day and age in which we live in, very few Christians exert much energy or effort or time to draw from those wells, because it requires diligence. It requires sacrifice. I talked to a brother the other day, and his church, they had Lord's Supper on Sunday, and he told me that with tears in his eyes, it grieved him. He said, it grieves me to see when Lord's Supper comes up how few Christians feel it's important to be there. We see that in our prayer meetings. We see that in services that require sacrifices. We see lack of diligence and sacrifice. And then you ask yourself the question, how much does Christ mean to people if they don't or are not willing to give sacrifices to draw from that well of salvation, to draw from that grace which is in Christ Jesus? It requires sacrifice. It requires diligence. It requires perseverance. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. A man wrote a hymn in 1827, says, O thou who gavest thy servant grace, on thee the living rock to rest, to look on thy unveiled face and lean on thy protecting breast. Followed this with this. Grant us, O King of mercy, still to feel thy presence from above, and in thy word and in thy will to hear thy voice and know thy love. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a lot of professing Christians who cannot bear witness with that second verse. In the previous verses of chapter 1, and we won't read them, but in the previous verses of chapter 1, the Apostle Paul had declared that all they which were in Asia had turned away from him. You see that in verse 15. That's Minor Asia. Paul's saying all those churches, all those people that professed faith in Christ has turned away from me. That's a lot of people. Some believe he's talking about apostatizing. And it's a good possibility that's what he's talking about. But regardless of apostasy or whether it just be them turning their backs on Paul, that was a lot of people. And Paul said, they've all turned away from me, with the exception of the house of Onesiphorus, who remained faithful. And he goes on to say, may God bless him for that. May God keep him for that. He was faithful to me and came to Rome and visited me and so forth and so on. And one family, one household out of all those were faithful to Paul. And Paul kind of says that here in verses 16 and 17 and 18. And then, because again, the Bible wasn't always in chapters and verses. So he says that. And then at the end of verse 18, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You see why, Timothy? Because there is many that has apostatized. Many has turned away from me, have turned away from the faith, and only one was faithful to me. Thou therefore be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Otherwise you could fall into the same danger. Paul always spoke like that. Paul always spoke as though he was in danger of apostatizing. We read through the epistles, we see that. Paul was the one that wrote Romans. He knew about justification by faith. And he was secure in that. I'm not saying Paul wasn't secure or sound in his doctrine. But Paul even says, I keep my body into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself become shipwrecked. Look up that Greek word, shipwrecked. It's apostatize. Beloved, this level of diligence flows throughout Scripture like a main artery. It flew throughout the church history. In the book of Acts and all the epistles of Paul, down through the history of the church, it flew like a main artery, encouraging and strengthening God's people to perseverance. And it comes to our generation today, and that main artery's been cut off. And service to Christ is everything but sacrifice and diligence and perseverance. Paul said, Timothy, you be careful. Again, this exhortation is in the shadow of all in Asia have left me. Timothy was not to allow these things to hinder or influence his ministry. And again, directly speaking, he's talking about the ministry. But learn, he says, learn to draw strength and comfort from that grace which is in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, you might find yourself in great peril, Timothy. Beloved, there is a greater measure of peril for the faithful servants of God in a very indifferent and passive generation than there is when God is sending us revival. Do you know that? The faithful are endangered when it becomes passive, indifference. Not very many wanting to serve the Lord. Not very many showing sacrifice. Not very many showing diligence. It's the faithful that begin to look around and say, God, there's nobody else serving you as the Bible says to, and it looks as though we're all alone, or we're short in number, or small in number, and they begin to get discouraged. And Paul's telling Timothy, don't let that influence you, but be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And beloved, that's a great exhortation for this day and age to where spiritual apathy is hanging over every church door. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Beware of that. Beware of your own falling. Beware. Paul, Peter even says this. See, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. So Peter says, the Bible is full of such exhortations, beloved. And they're great, encouraging exhortations for the faithful servant of God. It's one thing to know of such grace and to speak of its greatness, which in this generation, everybody speaks of the sovereign grace of God. Everybody's got to teach it and preach it. Seems like the 5 points is all they know about Christianity. And I won't go that route because I said that on Sunday. There's a lot more to the 5 points, a lot more to Calvinism than 5 points. You can know the five points of Calvinism and still die and go to hell. That's not going to assure your salvation. There's a lot of people that know a lot about grace and they speak a lot about its greatness. Yet it's another thing to ever learn to be strong in that same grace which is in Christ Jesus. That's the question. Can I be strong in that grace? Or can I only speak of it? And by that I mean strong in a manner that it influences my life and my character. You know, Christians don't worry about character today. Some Christians that I know, even here in Coleman, have got the most loud and harsh and sarcastic spirit about themselves. They don't care about character. Can we speak about grace, or can we draw from its power in that it influences our life and our character and our attitude, the way that we live, the way that we serve God? That's what Paul's talking about. And here again, like I said, we're reminded that we are in great need of divine assistance in our service for God, for this is grace. It's unmerited, which is in Christ Jesus. Yet it's not enough for us to merely acknowledge this divine truth. Paul knew, Timothy knew this truth about grace. Paul was his instructor, his mentor. He knew Timothy knew all about sovereign grace. But Timothy, do you know how to draw from its power? Do you know how to be strong in it in such a manner that even though there's many that's apostatizing, can you still stand fast in the faith? Can you still minister? Can you still preach? Can you still serve God? Timothy, that's the secret of knowing the sovereign grace of God, if you can find and draw strength from it, not speaking about it. I even, since we mentioned the 5 points, I'll even quote Calvin on this point. He said, "Let us not think to serve God at our ease and rest, for He will try and prove what hearts we have to employ ourselves for Him." Calvin knew something about that. I remember before I even came to the doctrines of grace, I never heard that name, and when I did, there was always some kind of red light warning going off around it. Beware of this heretic, beware of this and that, and just, it was just funny to hear that. But I was always kind of an adamant type person, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. They told me I shouldn't study Revelations first, I should study John. Well, just because I said that, I studied Revelations first instead of John. They told me I shouldn't read John Calvin, and I wondered why, so I started reading John Calvin. And I got his works on Deuteronomy, and I began to read Deuteronomy, his sermons on Deuteronomy, and I said, these people have no idea what they're talking about. If you ever read his works on Deuteronomy, it sounds like John Calvin's one of the most staunchest Arminians you've ever read. He knew the accountability of man. He never got it out of disorder. And he preached it. Just like Whitfield and John Edwards and Hal Harris and all the others. They had that divine balance. Oh, they rested in the sovereign grace of God, but they knew if the sovereign grace of God was existent in your heart, it would produce such fervent zeal and desire and ambition for Christ that it would appear as though you're working for your salvation. That balance is rarely seen today. Rarely seen today, because as soon as you start getting to one end or the other one, you've got the hypers come up and say, "Oh, wait a minute, you're demising the grace of God. It's all of grace. You can't do nothing." They knew that. But again, I'm not going to get into that battle. Even Timothy or even Paul shows that here. You know, I believe that same attitude is what's infecting those people that come to our churches, visitors, friends, and families, because we give them such a false balance of the sovereign grace of God that they sit there and say, "Well, if God doesn't do anything in my heart, if He doesn't move, if I don't feel some kind of lightning strike my heart, I must not be the elect, or God's not calling me. I'll just have to sit here and wait for God." Instead of telling them, "You need to seek salvation with all your heart or you'll perish in your sins," they take on that same attitude that believers have as they misuse sovereign grace. And so our friends and loved ones and families sit mildly by as they hear the preaching on eternal damnation and say, "Well, I'm just waiting on God's sovereignty," like they say. "I can't do nothing unless God tells me to." And beloved, this has greatly affected the church. We've lost that balance in our lives, in our character, in our attitudes. We need to get back to Scripture and find that divine balance of what Paul is telling Timothy. Read through Timothy. And I encourage you to do that. Read through Timothy and either underline or write down all the verses that talk about exhortation and asked yourself, how often does Paul hold Timothy accountable for what he knows about God? And you'll be surprised. It's full of exhortation. Let me hurry. To be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus is to draw strength and comfort from all that Christ is and continues to do in and through us. Can I say that again? To be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus is to draw strength and comfort from all that Christ is. And that's a big word. If you went through all His attributes and all His redemptive work and intercession, all that stuff, and continues to do in and through us, that's what that means in a nutshell. Can we draw from that? Let me give you a few examples as I close. What does it mean, preacher, to be strong in the grace? What can I draw out of this? Well, to know and to realize, first of all, the all-sufficient power and mercy of such grace in the midst of our weaknesses and infirmities. Can we draw from that grace? Didn't Paul say in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient? Well, the Lord said it through Paul. My grace is what? Sufficient for thee? Do we know the sufficiency of God's grace? Can we draw on that in our weaknesses? For my strength is made perfect, that shines forth, is greatly manifested in weakness. Can we draw strength in our weaknesses and realize and be comforted and strengthened by the all-sufficiency of God's grace in time of need? Can we do that? Can we draw from that? That's what he's talking about. Partially. Do we know something about that? Do we know something about when we're really weak and we feel like we have no abilities, and we don't, but we have no abilities at all, we're absolutely nothing, we're in the dust and heaps and ashes, can we still draw from that grace? Like Paul said, can we still then say, I glory therefore in my infirmities? Can we draw from that? If Timothy couldn't draw from that, beloved, how could he continue ministering? Because there has to be this balance, again a balance, of me understanding and being aware of my utter inability to do anything for God, my worthlessness, coupled and adorned with the grace of God. That's how it works. Can I draw from that? Do I know something of that? Am I ever growing in its power and influence under my weaknesses? Can I draw from that? To be strong in the grace of His perfect and glorious salvation. Be strong or increase in its knowledge and assurance that we might stand fast and bravely contend for it. Can I draw from the grace that is in Christ Jesus when it comes to salvation, when it comes to forgiveness of sins, when I've sinned grievously against God? Can I draw from the grace that is in Christ Jesus and receive comfort that His perfect salvation covers my sins and He's my high priest and I can approach the throne of grace boldly in a time of need? Can I draw from that? Can I draw from that when the world looks as though everything's falling around me, falling down and crumbling? Can I still draw from that grace and find strength in time of need? Can I draw from that? Well, we couldn't draw from that if we didn't have that well springing up inside of us. That's why Paul says it's in Christ Jesus, Timothy. This grace is in Him. But you have to learn how to draw out that grace to where it influences you, where it affects you, where it actually governs you. Timothy, if you can do that, you'll be strong. And it won't be strong in yourself, it'll be strong in that grace. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. That's actually, if we were truthful with ourselves in Scripture, that's actually something, again, that runs through the entire Scripture. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on all the armor of God. Well, how do we start? We start by being strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and then accountability comes. Put therefore on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. But it's being strong in His power and His might, drawing strength from Him, knowing that all my strength to be a good soldier comes from God, knowing that all my abilities to fight the spiritual warfare comes from God, and as I draw from that, I put on the armor and I can fight the good fight. That's what Paul's saying. Beloved, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And may God give us a spirit of diligence and perseverance. And I hope and pray we can continue to learn from these gleanings from Timothy and such wonderful exhortations, encouraging exhortations. And may God give us grace to know more of them in a more personal manner. Amen. Let's pray.